One of the interesting things about the study is when you looked at women with ER-positive versus ER-negative tumors. Can you review that?
Yeah, so we looked at three subgroup analyses. All were not pre-planned, going back to the protocol from 1993. So all the hypothesis generating, all those qualifications. But the most interesting one was by receptor status. So the estrogen receptor positive patients had a hazard ratio of 0.85, which was not statistically significant. This is cutting the overall population. The hazard ratio in the receptor negative patients was 0.64 for 36% reduction in recurrence risk.
And I'm guessing that you probably thought maybe you'd see the opposite.
Right. We thought that there would be a bigger effect in the receptor positive patients and really weren't anticipating much of anything in the receptor negative patients with this thought that it might be mediated through estrogen reduction.
Do you think that this could be some type of spurious statistical thing or is it real?
It's the usual thing. I think there were only 478 women in the receptor negative group. Having said that, it is remarkable that we did get a statistically significant reduction. It was 0.018 in that 478 group. And the Kaplan-Meier is very striking as the separation occurs in the first year. So right from the start, there's an immediate separation. Now, having said that, of course, one doesn't know if it's going to be a real effect or not. There almost certainly isn't an interaction. We didn't test for interaction, but they're both on the same side, 15% reduction, you know, nearly 40% reduction in terms of both trending to work. So it reminded me a little bit of the attack data, you know, is that real or not? So obviously we need more events to be able to see if this is going to be a real event. I think the safest thing to say is if there is an overall effect, it almost certainly won't be limited to the receptor positive patients. I think that's pretty confident. The effect was almost three times bigger in that subgroup analysis.
Is this sort of an area that you'd like to see pursued in terms of further clinical research?
Yeah, I think there's a couple issues. One is that one of the biggest outgrowths of this, I think, will be causing breast cancer researchers to look at areas other than estrogen. And the activity would be looking at what's different in the blood, because almost certainly there's thousands of proteins in the blood. And to look at the change in proteins in the blood could potentially impact breast cancer outcome, looking for new molecular targets. I think that's going to be the most exciting outgrowth of that. Certainly, this is exciting from a woman's perspective, because they may have an opportunity to now play some role in their management, because that's a very, very common question for all of us in practice.
Do you think this is something that should be brought up to everyone with breast cancer?
I think we're at the point where we're not quite there yet, in that we recognize that we need further follow-up, a peer-reviewed publication, probably a confirmatory study if you're doing something new for the first time. But having said that, the diet was associated with nutritional adequacy, can be recommended for other health reasons, and would have really no appreciable side effects. The only issue that I could see is this guilt factor, where basically the American Cancer Society, for instance, right now has recommendations for dietary change after cancer diagnosis. They're all based on inference. I wrote an editorial making on that comment. It's reasonable to do. You have a signal that there might be a cancer benefit as well. But I think it's the kind of thing where we wouldn't tell every patient they have to do it. It's the kind of thing, if somebody wanted to do something, you'd say, here's something that you could do. It may influence your breast cancer, but it has these other, you know, potential benefits.